Texans Wrap is brought to you in part by Verizon, America's fastest 4G network. By the Memorial Hermann Ironman Sports Medicine Institute, bringing elite care to all athletes. And by the Texas Lottery. Play the Houston Texans Scratch-Off from the Texas Lottery today. Maybe it's your lucky day.
Hi, everybody, and welcome inside Reliance Stadium for this week's edition of Texans Wrap. I'm your host, Bart Ennis. Coming up over the next half hour, we're going to take a look back at the team's big road win against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Mark Vandermeer will be along, as usual, to give us his take. And we'll hear from head coach Gary Kubiak as he addresses the local media about what he liked and didn't like in the win over Jacksonville. But let's get things started by taking a look back at that big win, the team's second consecutive 20-point victory in this week's Texans Rewind. One thing you can say for Jacksonville, they're consistent. They use the same cover two defensive scheme they always use against the Texans in an effort to keep Andre Johnson under wraps. But seeing two deep safeties every time he came to the line just meant that Matt Schaub would use his two-headed monster of a running game and short controlled passing game to eat up yards and clock while putting 27 points on the board. That formula worked especially well in the first half when Arian Foster had 69 yards and Ben Tate had 49 and each had a touchdown. The offense had 242 yards and a 17-0 lead at the break.
When you have two backs that we do with Arian and Ben and the group up front, our tight ends on the edge and our receivers blocking in the secondary, they're going to be productive. And it was fun to get back to that today.
As efficient as the Houston offense was, the defense was equally so. Led by J.J. Watt and Brian Cushing, that unit pitched a first-half shutout. But the Texans gave in to human nature and they came out a little bit flat for the second half. Jacksonville used very good field position to march just 37 yards in two plays to get their only score of the day, a short touchdown pass to Maurice Jones-Drew. The offense then responded in a big way, putting together a 17-play, 80-yard scoring drive that demoralized the Jags. The key play was a third down and one conversion at the Jacksonville 36. Ben Tate turned a busted play into a beautiful individual effort for 3 yards, and the chains kept moving.
I think it was big because, it kept the drive going. And, it was a big third down for us. And I think that just kind of put those guys away right there once we scored that touchdown. So I think it was a pretty important play in the drive.
Tate would later score from the two, and it was 24-7. From that point on, it was all on the shoulders of a well-rested defense.
They have really, really nice benches here. They had shade and they had cooling. So it was awesome that our offense held the ball for so long because we were relaxing over there. It was awesome.
Watt led the way with 1.5 sacks, a fumble recovery, and two more volleyball spikes of Blaine Gabbert passes at the line of scrimmage. The dominance of Jacksonville's pathetic offense was complete. The Jags were 0-for-9 on third downs, finished with an all-time franchise low of 117 yards of offense on just 38 plays. In the end, the Texans had themselves a 27-7 win and an all-time new leading rusher. Arian Foster now holds that title with 3,286 yards and counting.
It's a good accomplishment. Nice individual accolade, but that's not why you play the game. And it's a tribute to a lot of hard work by a lot of people, offensive line, coaches, receivers, tight ends. It's just a cumulative effort.
When we come back, we'll hear from head coach Gary Kubiak as he addresses the local media, and we'll show you the Texans' two-headed running back monster that did a lot of damage against the Jags on Sunday. Stay with us. Welcome back to Texans Wrap. When you take a look at the stats from Sunday's game in Jacksonville, there are a couple of things that jump out at you. Number one, in 60 minutes of play, the Texans possessed the ball in over 43 of those. That's a new team record. That can be directly attributed to the two-headed monster of Arian Foster and Ben Tate that ground and pounded the Jags defense into oblivion. The running back tandem rushed a combined 40 times for 184 yards and 3 touchdowns. At the same time, quarterback Matt Schaub was able to find the two running backs another 10 times in the passing game for another 60 yards of offense, including a crucial third down conversion by Tate. After the game, both guys seemed pleased with each other's performance, and they even use each other's success as motivation.
Well, I see him get out there and break a run, I'm like, oh, man, I'm chomping at the bit. Like, I can outdo that, And then I get out there and break one, and he's like, oh, man, I can outdo that, So it's a good friendly competition, but, it also helps this team go. So I think it's very important for both of us.
He's a great back, man. It's fun to watch him, and I tell him all the time, you know, he can start in this league a lot of places, and just to keep his head down and go to work. And, you know, it's fun to be a part of a backfield like that.
All right, it's time now to hand it off to head coach Gary Kubiak, who's ready to address the media and talk about Sunday's record-setting win.
How do you feel about people say, okay, you beat Miami, you beat Jacksonville, now you're going to play the Broncos and Peyton on the road, now you get a real test?
I think they're all real. You know, I just look around this league every week. I mean, anybody can beat anybody if you don't play well. You know, with that being said, you know, these two are behind us, and it's time to start looking forward. And we know that we've got a huge test, John, coming down there, you know, with Peyton leading the way for them and the type of player he is. And they're very talented. They're an extremely talented team, young, talented team that, you know, playing very good defense. They can run the ball. There's a lot of things. Great kicking game, exceptional kicking game. So probably as strong a football team as there is out there right now. So it'll be a big test for us and having to, you know, go play there.
I think 2 years ago you were honest enough to tell us that game was special since you'd spent so much time up there. Now that you got that one under your belt, will this one be special for you?
They're all special.
Was this one
special? I'm sure I'll know the streets and where to walk to the locker room and see a lot of people on the field, you know. But I'll be wrapped up in the game, I promise you that. I mean, like I said, they're such a fine football team. It's a great test for us early in the season because I know how difficult it is to play there. The noise, and obviously the good team that we're playing. So we're going to have to be, you know, darn good this Sunday. And our team knows that. I thought we really had a good focus today right out of our meetings, correcting our mistakes at Jacksonville and getting a head start on Wednesday. I think they know that.
You should have beaten them 2 years ago, and y'all blew it at the end. Is altitude a real thing, or is that just something they use for opponents?
I don't think so, John. I mean, I think it's been proven that if you think you're going to go to altitude early or something like that and get used to it, that doesn't work. But just to fly in town on Saturday and play on Sunday, you know, I don't think it affected us last time we were there. I just don't think we played very good in the fourth quarter, especially as a football team, and we got ourselves beat. So, you know, there's no excuses, no anything. I mean, we got to play good football, and we got to do it at their place. So we play a lot of people anyway. I mean, that's what our team, that's the way we're built. I mean, we play a lot of people.
Coach, how did you and Coach Benton and when did y'all decide to go with the rotation you used at guard with Jones and Caldwell, and how'd you grade them out?
When was the decision made? I don't know. Sometime late in the week, last week, we talked about it. First off, Ben's been playing very good, been showing a lot of signs. You know, you shoot seven linemen on game day. We felt like he deserved an opportunity to get a few series and see if we can continue to see his progress as a player, and we did. He played good. He played 30 plays, I think, 32 plays. Gump played like 50-something plays, and he played better than he did last week. You know, so that was encouraging. So all six of our guys up front played well for us to run the ball the way we did. And like I said, we're just kind of built that way as a team. You know, you see what Ben came in and did yesterday and the way he played. Garrett Graham's playing very good. We're giving OD a lot of breaks. We believe in our young receivers. We're giving Andre a break. So that's just kind of how we're built right now. And we got fresh guys on the field we have confidence in. And as they get better, we should get better.
Did you do similar things with some of your younger defensive players early in the game? You had Crick and Jameson out there, and they didn't play much the rest of the game, but they were out there early.
Yeah, we're definitely rotating. I mean, obviously there weren't enough snaps to go around defensively for them. That's a good thing, you know, in the game. But, you know, we played Jameson for JJ and for Antonio, and we want Crick. I think Crick, you know, got to play, but I think he still only got to play about 8 or 9 plays because of the number of plays that we played defensively. But we're going to play a lot of guys. Earl Mitchell played well. He comes in for Sean. So, you know, if you suit up for us, you know you're going to get time, and I think that's important. It keeps everybody involved in what we're doing and having an opportunity to contribute.
Can you talk about some of the mistakes you wanted to correct, Coach, as you reviewed?
Well, first thing that jumps at me is special teams-wise, Mark. We've got some issues that we've got to get straightened out that are going to really hurt us coming up here if we don't. We had numerous penalties, I think 3 or 4, that hurt us in the return game. And, you know, so that's a big point of emphasis today here in the meeting. You know, other than that, you know, we got some things going on, you know, offensively. I thought Matt got hit a few too many times. He did a great job of getting rid of the ball. We come out of the game with no sacks. But a lot of that had to do – we did some good stuff up front, but a lot of it had to do with also Matt getting rid of the ball. So that's something we're concentrating on. And then in the third quarter, we had a sequence there where – you know, they punt to us, we get a penalty. We get backed up offensively, we get a penalty. We go three and out. Defensively, we give up two plays. We had a sequence in there where we let a football team right back in the game, a 17-7 game when we were, you know, getting after them pretty good and playing pretty good. So it's a good reminder. We need to come out of the locker room better in the second half. We kind of did it last week, you know, also.
Coach, can you talk about J.J.? And
he's exceptional. I mean, he was just as good this week as he was last week. He's factoring in the game just incredible, whether it's a tip ball, getting a turnover, a sack. I mean, just, you know, it's one thing to play plays and play well, but he's such a big play guy. And, you know, he played extremely well again. So, he's had two as good outings as you could possibly have.
Coach, yesterday after the game, Arian said that he tells Ben Tate all the time that he could start for a lot of teams in this league. How much of an advantage is it to have two running backs like that?
Well, it's really big, Nick. You know, especially yesterday, it's pretty warm, you know, pretty humid out there, especially after it rained. And, you know, it keeps a fresh guy in there. And a lot about playing back in this league is not only getting what you're supposed to get, but getting more than you're supposed to get. You know, when something's not there, you got to make a great play. And nobody did that better than Ben yesterday. Ben touched the ball 12 times. He was our offensive player of the game. That's the type of factor he was in the game every time he touched it. And I think he caught three or four balls. So, you know, it's big for our team. We know we can count on him. Justin Forsett came in and ran well. So, you know, like I said, it goes back to our philosophy of playing a lot of guys and trusting a lot of players.
He's only had one regular season game so far, and I'm sure you're going to watch him tonight. But what have you seen out of Peyton Manning? Obviously, there are a lot of questions about if he's going to be the same player, you know, coming back this year.
It's like the same guy to me. I've just watched him briefly, you know, watched him against San Francisco in the preseason and, you know, last week against Pittsburgh. And he looks the same to me, and he's on a fine football team. John's built a hell of a team over there, and I think he's brought, you know, tremendous leadership to a good young football team, and it shows, you know, playing with a lot of poise.
As Watt gets better and gets more attention and teams spend more time on him and put more people on him, shouldn't that open things up for your other guys?
Yeah, and I think really when you look at J.J.'s success, you got to look at Antonio. You know, you got to look at Sean, those guys. You know, Connor and Brooks right now, I mean, you know, to me, they're playing extremely well, John. This team we played yesterday paid so much attention to them, chipping them. You know, they have those tight ends that are such good players, and they were constantly chipping Connor and chipping Brooks to, you know, so that they could help in pass protection. And when you got that going on, somebody's got to get a lot of one-on-ones, you know. So I think J.J. would be the first one to tell you that, you know, he'd give his teammates a lot of credit for what's happening for him.
Coach, what does it say about J.J. Watt's talent that, you know, in the first week he got his hands on four different balls, and this week after they have to have prepared for that, he still did it again twice?
Yeah, and what he does is when he can't get to the quarterback, he does a great job of keying the quarterback's eyes, you know, when they get three-step drop and stuff. You know, he just has a way of finding his eyes. And, you know, J.J.'s so long, tall and long to begin with, and, you know, it's just he's doing an exceptional job of it. You know, we felt like they did a few things to try to get his hands down, but he's just such a good athlete and player that he finds a way to do it. And, you know, the good news is we got everybody doing it right now. So, you know, we got some other guys getting their hand on the ball too.
Regarding Tate, do you think yourself and Matt have more confidence in him in the passing game, working him into the mix on screens and everything you're throwing his way?
Yeah, I mean, I have just as much confidence in him as Arian or Justin, you know, as far as run, throw, those type of things. Ben's got great hands. Ben understands pass protection. He's become a three-down type player, and that's what makes Arian such a great player, a three-down player, nickel, never leaving the field. So, I mean, I don't call or do anything any different with those guys in the game. I think they both have maybe certain strengths that may be a little bit different, but I don't really, you know, change what I do. You know, so I think Ben's just as capable of catching the ball and making big plays also.
Regarding the offensive lineman I was asking about earlier, is that the plan moving forward? And exactly what is the rotation with Caldwell and Jones?
Yeah, we're going to continue to play those six guys right now. And I think Ryan Harris is coming along. He's only been with us for a short period of time. What is that rotation? I mean, I don't know. There will be one, so we'll see.
Do you think that tackle with Newton, how'd you grade him out? And would you say he's maybe ahead of, you know, a better run blocker at this point than pass blocker? Any analysis like that?
Well, what you're looking for in this league is when you watch players, you want to see growth. You know, Miami was Newton's first time ever to start an NFL game, and there was some good, and there was obviously some not so good. To watch him go from that game to the next game was exceptional. Now, he still made mistakes in this game. He's still got a long ways to go. But just to watch him go correct himself, that's what you're looking for. And as I told y'all all along, that's the thing we really like about him. We like his upside because he played at a small school. He's had to come a long way football knowledge-wise, but the talent is there. And the more plays and snaps he plays, he should get better. And we saw signs of that, you know. Now he's got a different test this week. Got two great pass rushers, one on each side.
The Jaguars didn't act like your sugar huddle bothered them, but they said you tricked them by having so many short plays instead of doing what you usually do. Could you talk about the idea behind your sugar huddle and what made it work so well?
Well, we wanted to push the tempo of the game is what we wanted to do, John. We wanted to come out of the game with more snaps than we may normally average in a game, so we're trying to push the tempo that way. Obviously, we got 84, 85 offensive snaps, and you know, so that was accomplished from that standpoint. At the same time, you know, we didn't want to. We're on the road. We didn't want to, you know, flip personnel's a bunch, that type of thing. So you know, it's just, you know, you go in there every week with an idea of what you think it's going to take to win that game. So it was just a mindset going into that particular game, and something we're capable of doing all the time. So hopefully, we gain some confidence in it.
On Trendon Holiday, have you and Joe had any different thoughts about him through six games with the number of, or is the number of mishandles and balls that haven't been caught cleanly, is that a concern for you too?
Well, like I said, I'm concerned special teams-wise, you know, and Trendon's part of that. You know, he mishandled a punt yesterday when we had them backed up right before the half, and then, of course, the one that hits GQ, that's his responsibility. Go get GQ out of the way. So, yeah, I mean, that's his part of the bargain, but we've got other issues in special teams that could help him be more successful too. So, like I said, we're going to have to play better there. Hopefully we get Brayman back this week. He's been unable to get going right now, but he did work today, so hopefully he comes back and can help us out.
A lot of people are throwing the ball around so much, all 5,000-yard passers, you being the next quarterback. Why is it you believe so strongly in the run instead of throwing it all over the place?
Well, I think it depends on how your team's built, John. You know, what type of team you put together. I mean, I've got a running back there making a good living. That he needs to touch the ball. So, I mean, and I think one of the strengths of our guys up front is running the football. And we got a defense that if we don't put them out on the field very long, they're going to play very, very well. So, you know, I think it depends on how you're built and what you believe in as a staff and what your players believe in. But I'll tell you one thing, I think we feel like we can do both on a given day. I mean, if we got to go throw it to win, we'll go throw it, you know. But we're going to play our brand of football and hopefully find a way to get a W.
Texans Wrap will continue in a moment, and we'll take a look back at the defensive performance against the Jags, including defensive end J.J. Watt, who already has his teammates talking Pro Bowl. Welcome back to Texans Wrap. You know, after starting the season with an uneven, kind of sloppy performance against the Miami Dolphins, the Texans defense was looking to clamp down and play a more consistent game against Jacksonville. And we've already mentioned a couple of team records that the offense set on Sunday, but the defense would be rewriting the record books as well. For the game, the Texans yielded only 117 total yards, forced 7 three-and-outs in 12 Jacksonville possessions, and only one Jags possession lasted longer than 4 plays. A big reason for that has been the pressure provided by the defensive line, and in particular, J.J. Watt. The second-year defensive end accounted for a sack and a half, recovered a fumble, and led the team with 5 tackles and another 2 passes defended. Is it too early to start talking Pro Bowl?
I hope to not be available for Pro Bowl week. It's such a great locker room to be in because we're all happy for each other. I mean, I've had 2 good weeks here, but coming down the stretch, there's going to be other guys that have great weeks. And so it just depends on whose number gets called, and I've been fortunate, and hopefully I'm fortunate the rest of the year. But I look good because we have good DBs giving us time. I look good because we have Sean Cody stuffing up the middle, because we have Brooks and Connor on the outside. So don't get it mixed up and think that it's all one-man game. It's definitely a team effort.
And we are joined now by Mark Vandermeer. He's with us, of course, each and every week. An impressive win in Jacksonville after a kind of a sloppy performance in the opener. It was good to see them play such a complete game.
So. Well, the opener was a 20-point win where you were thinking, that was an okay 20-point win. And now you have a really good 20-point win that could have even been more lopsided. But the Texans kind of took it easy, I thought, in the second half. And you look at this domination through the first 2 games, Bart. This is really something. They've been 2-0 before. This is the third straight year, but they've never been 2-0 like this, and they're ready for a tough stretch to come in the schedule.
What did you think about the game plan going in? Because Jacksonville always plays the Texans, and we mentioned it in the rewind, and that Tampa 2, that deep, two deep safeties. And all that does is just open them up to the running game, and the guys pounced on that.
Well, it's funny with the Texans offensively. They come out throwing short passes. I was amazed the way the Texans opened up with throwing the ball up play action, which they always do, but in short zones. I mean, it was never anything long, and Matt Schaub just sort of matriculated the ball down the field, used the ground game as well. The running backs combined for 60 receiving yards, and Schaub ends up with 195 yards, and he threw it 35 times, you know, so that shows you that it was a controlled passing game with the hurry-up offense, Bart. We haven't really seen much of that, so it gives other defenses down the road something to think about.
Matriculating the field, the ball downfield, a little Hank Stram thrown in there for you folks.
I love it.
All right, defensively, J.J. Watt, we've talked about him. You heard Gary talk about him. He was terrific, but I also thought Cushion played a great game. Sean Cody played very well up front, and they've got that rotation going in that defensive line that looks very good.
Well, it's a good thing they're going to be on national television, because if they keep playing like this, nobody's going to the Pro Bowl other than Watt, because they're not going to get enough snaps. You know, they get 38 snaps in this game, and that's nothing. So you don't even have opportunities to get sacks and stats like that. People are asking me, hey, what about the other guys not getting sacks and everything? Hey, Jacksonville didn't even have the ball long enough to enable these Texans to get after it. So phenomenal performance defensively. Number one defense in the league, scoring and yards through 2 weeks.
All right, looking forward now, they're going from one of the worst teams in the league to one of the best teams in the league, because Peyton Manning looks exactly like the same guy, and he's got a lot of weapons to work with there in Denver. They've got a very good defense. This is a whole different animal they're going to face now.
Yeah, they go a mile high. This is a huge outing, and they know it, Bart. They know this is a much better team, and Gary Kubiak talked about their kicking game. You heard that, so there are a lot of concerns here. Altitude, you know, you beat the Broncos here before, but you've never beaten them up there. And remember 2 years ago, the Tebow game. Now this is Manning. The nightmare is back. It's Glenn Close coming out of the bathtub. You got to deal with it. So this is a huge outing.
And plus, they've got that defensive structure around Von Miller and Elvis Dumervil, two speed rushers coming off the edge. We haven't seen that yet this year.
Right. And, Gary talked about Derek Newton on the right side of the offensive line. You know about the right guard with the rotation with Jones and Caldwell. How Denver tries to deal with that is going to be very interesting, because even in the Jacksonville game, Schaub was pressured. You heard Coach Kubiak say, hey, there was pressure on Matt Schaub. Didn't take a sack, got rid of the football, but got hit a few times. That's what Denver wants to do. You know, they want to hit the quarterback. Every team's going to want to do that. You better find a way to run the football well, because you get the feeling the defense will get their stops. Manning's going to score, though, but they'll get their stops. You got to find a way to move it on the ground, keep Schaub healthy. It's basically the formula for the entire season.
All right, Mark, great stuff. Thanks for being with us once again. Going to take a break now. We'll be back in wrap up Texans Wrap in just a moment. Stay with us. Welcome back to Texans Wrap. We want to remind everybody that you can catch Texans Huddle every Thursday at 5:30 on Fox Sports Houston. Everything you need to know about the Texans, the game they just played, and the game they're about to play, which, of course, this week means the Denver Broncos. That's all the time we have for Texans Wrap. But we'll be right back here next week following that game against the Broncos and break that one down for you as well. We'll see you then.